Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Luke. From chapter 5, we will read verses 1 through 11. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1466. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Luke 5. So it was, as a multitude pressed about Jesus to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then Jesus got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And Jesus sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When Jesus had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to Jesus, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed Jesus. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. If Jesus were physically seated at the table with us this morning, what would you want to ask him? Joe asked this of his children at breakfast. His boys thought of their toughest questions. They'd want to ask Jesus the most difficult math problems and have him tell them how big the universe really is. His daughter replied, "I would ask him for a hug." What do you need from Jesus today? It would seem that Simon Peter needed fish. Simon and his brother Andrew and their two partners, James and John, had fished all night and caught nothing. Lake Gennesaret, also called the Sea of Galilee, is a large freshwater lake. It's over 690 feet below sea level and serves as the main source of water and commerce for the Galilee region. Fishermen on the Sea of Galilee often use bell-shaped nets with lead weights around the edges. A net would be thrown out flat under the water, and the lead weights would cause it to sink around the fish. Fishermen fished at night when the fish were closer to the surface of the water. Even professional fishermen come up empty sometimes. No matter how many times they threw their nets out and dragged them back into the boat, there were no fish. They toiled all night and caught nothing. Still, nets have to be cleaned to make ready for the next night fishing. So the fishermen left their two boats by the shore as they stepped into the water with their nets and washed them. Jesus is standing by the lake. The multitude of people were pressing about him, trying to hear the word of God. Noticing the two fishing boats, Jesus got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. Apparently, Simon and Andrew looked up and walked over to the boat in which Jesus sat. Jesus said, "Simon, push out a little." Probably using an oar, Simon pushed out a little, putting just a little distance between the boat and the people. Sitting down, Jesus taught the multitude from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, Jesus said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Jesus' directive really didn't make sense to a seasoned fisherman. As the day went on, the sun warmed the water. The fish that were normally closer to the surface of the water sank deeper and deeper out into the cooler depths. Their weighted nets would not sink that deep. It was an exercise in futility, a pipe dream, wishful thinking, a waste of clean nets that would have to be rewashed. Simon answered and said to Jesus, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." Nevertheless, don't you like the word? Despite my thinking, against all odds, at the risk of looking a fool, not to mention my tiredness, nevertheless, at your word. Simon called Jesus Master. Well, it doesn't say here. This doesn't seem to be Simon's first introduction to Jesus. John's gospel account in the first chapter gives us the story of Andrew going to his brother Simon saying, "We have found the Messiah." Simon goes to meet Jesus. And Jesus says, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, a stone." Now, the Aramaic name Cephas is Peter in the Greek. On that day by the Sea of Galilee, when Jesus said, "Launch out into the deep," Simon Peter prepared to do just that. With Jesus in the boat, two brothers launched out into the deep and cast out their net. When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. They signaled to their partners, James and John, in the other boat to come and to help them. They filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." Face to face with this man of miracles, Simon Peter saw his own sinfulness. "Oh Lord, I'm not worthy. In my own strength, I am nothing, and I can do nothing. I am empty." With Jesus, one is so filled with abundance that there's a possibility of sinking. Some have too much food, too much stuff. They have more time than task. Empty or full, we need Jesus. Everyone was astonished at the catch of fish. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed Jesus. Forsook, left behind. They left all behind and followed Jesus. Do you ever wonder what their families thought? Mark's gospel account tells us in the first chapter that when Jesus called James and John, that they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants. James and John walked away following Jesus. A little farther in chapter 1 of Mark, we read that Jesus, along with James and John, went to the house of Simon Peter and Andrew. Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told Jesus about her at once. Jesus came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. Perhaps this made it a little easier for Peter's wife and the rest of his and Andrew's family to give blessing to their leaving to follow this itinerant minister all over the land. Leave fishing. It's your source of providing for your family. Leave your family. Leave your yesterday for a new today. Ever wonder about the ones keeping the home fires burning? We should never underestimate their role of ministry. In his book, Experiencing God, Henry Blackaby wrote a section entitled, "Cost to My Family for Me to Do God's Will." When Marilyn and I committed ourselves to do mission work, one of the great costs we had to face was what it would cost our children for me to be gone so much. Our oldest was 8 when we went to Saskatoon. Our youngest was born a few months after the move. I was gone from home much of the time during those years the children were growing up. Marilyn also had to pay a high price by rearing all 5 children with me gone so much. People ask, how could you? We believed God would honor our obedience to Him. We believed the God who called us would show us how to rear our children. We came to believe that the Heavenly Father who loves His servants would take care of our children. Jesus called his disciples to leave yesterday's work and live for today's work. Leave fishing for fish and fish for men. Fish for people for the kingdom of God. One day at a time, good lives are lived. I like the title of Max Lucado's book, Every Day Deserves a Chance. An hour is too short, a year's too long. Days are the bite-sized portions of life, the God-assigned assignments of life management. 84,000 heartbeats, 1,440 minutes, a complete rotation of the earth, a circle of the sundial, both a sunrise and a sunset, a gift of 24 unlived, unexplored hours. If you can stack one good day on another and another, you will link together a good life. But here's what you need to keep in mind. You no longer have yesterday. It slipped away as you slept. It is gone. You can't alter, change, or improve it. You no longer have yesterday. You do not yet have tomorrow. You can't live tomorrow today. You can't celebrate tomorrow's achievements or resolve tomorrow's riddles. You have only today. This is the day the Lord has made. Every day deserves a chance. In the Old Testament book of Lamentations, we read of God's great promises. Lamentations by the author Jeremiah, it's a book of heartbreak, loneliness, bitter weeping, and terrible troubles. Jeremiah remembers his affliction, yet there is hope. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. Then I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we're not consumed because his compassion fail not. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Max Lucado writes, the next time you are mired in a bad day, check your outlook with these three questions. What do I feel guilty about? What am I worried about? And what am I about? Reflect on your answers with these reminders. Yesterday, been forgiven. Tomorrow, I've surrendered. And today is clarified. Jesus' design for a good day makes such sense. His grace erases our guilt. His oversight removes our fear. And his direction removes confusion. Now, Bill, I'm not sure I always get this Max Lucado quote quite right, but it's something like how worry steals today's priorities and robs tomorrow's possibilities. Based on where we think God is leading us and the purpose that God has for our lives, we make our plans and we determine our priorities, but that's not to say that we don't have to allow for interruptions, reprioritize our priorities or make adjustments. When theologian Todd Billings received a diagnosis of incurable blood cancer, he described his imminent mortality as like lights in distant rooms turning off or flickering. He said, as the father of a 1 and a 3-year-old, I tended to think of the next decades as an open expanse, assuming I would see Nettie and Nathaniel grow and mature. But in being diagnosed, there is a narrowing that takes place. In thinking about these limitations, Billings reflected on Psalm 31. Although David spoke of being afflicted by his enemies, he knew that God was his refuge and place of safety. In Psalm 31, verses 14 and 15, David wrote, "But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand." Our times are in the hand of a God who is not only prepared for an abundant life today, but throughout eternity. Have you ever wondered about God's agenda for your day? God's agenda is to make you more like Jesus. Romans 8:29 says that God has predestined his people to be conformed to the image of his Son. Jesus felt no guilt. God wants us to feel no guilt. Jesus had no bad habits. God wants us to do away with ours. Jesus faced fear with courage. God wants us to do the same. Jesus knew the difference between right and wrong. God wants us to know the same. Jesus served others and gave his life for the lost. We can do likewise. Jesus dealt with anxiety about death. We can too. God's desire, God's plan, God's ultimate goal is to make you into the image of Christ. Let us live today in the fullness of God's grace. Let us pray. Loving God, our times are in your hands. Forgive us for yesterday's failures. Strengthen us for today's purpose and guide us to tomorrow's possibilities. In Jesus' name, amen.